Welcome to the Atletico Podcast. This is the Atletico Podcast, and we have a very special guest today, Nathalie Marmont, who's, I'm going to let her introduce herself, and she's also a shareholder at Atletico. I want to say thanks to all the viewers and the listeners of the Atletico Podcast. Thank you for being part of the journey. So, Nat, what a pleasure to have you at the Atletico Podcast. Many of the people and the viewers know who you are, and some of them do not know. You have a whole list of achievements in front of me, Anne. I don't know where to start. I'm going to list a few of them, and then I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the viewers. So Nathalie is not only a shareholder at Atletico, but she's a former basketball player, professional basketball player. First Arab player to enter the first division at age 11. Represented Lebanon's national team at age 13. By the way, I have so many questions. Secured over 65 titles throughout her career, captained the women's national team, instrumental in advancing the team from Division B to Division A in Asia, youngest player to win an Arab championship, and just the list is very long. And then you went into a media career. Correct. Yeah, and we can say that your whole life was built around sports. I'm going to let you introduce yourself from here on.
It's true, you said it. My entire life was built around sports. I was born in a family where sports was everything, from my grandfather to my father and then to myself. We grew up becoming and being basketball players, basketball champions, and it transcended. I took everything I learned on court and I applied it in life. So basketball took me to become after, because I was the youngest player to join the national team and to win a lot of championships. So I used to go a lot on TV as a guest. I used to get a lot of interviews. And then when MTV decided to open its doors again, I was asked to become the first Arab woman to ever present sports. Back then, I didn't speak good Arabic. I didn't read good Arabic. I didn't know how to write Arabic news. And I said no at the beginning. And then I gave it a little thought because they really insisted. And I actually really wanted to become the first Arab woman to do it. So I took a job I didn't know how to do anything about. I just said yes, and I learned it on the go, and I actually became the first Arab woman to do that. And from that moment on, I was blessed with opportunities left and right, from countries abroad, from BN Sports, from Sky News, from a lot of other places. And the journey started. So what used to be my weakness, which was my Arabic, and my accent, you know, I speak a lot of languages, so I was known to be the person who speaks the German words in German accent, the French words in French accent, the American words in American accent. It became my strength because I started getting opportunities to host stuff on the international level. So I moved to Sky News, and I started getting opportunities to host the Globe Soccer Awards as the first Arab to ever do that, to do the launch of the World Cup. The official launch of the World Cup ball. I was the first to ever talk about WWE as a woman in the region. I won Sports Media Personality of the Year. I worked for the NBA as a first woman. And not a long time ago, even in Dubai, I was the first woman to win Sports Media Personality of the Year.
And yesterday
I was also very blessed because it was an award that I got from my country. Honoring my career in sports presenting in front of the family, which is the family of basketball that saw me since I was 11 years old, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So it's all been a sports journey that I'm very proud of, and it's not done yet, so there is so much left to do.
Nathalie, if we want to go back at the beginning, and all of those achievements, they're backed by a kid's stories and a desire to be someone and do something, serve a purpose that is bigger than yourself. Where did it start? Yani déjà, your passion for basketball as a kid, how did it all begin?
You know, honestly, my passion for basketball has been huge. I was born next to a basketball club, Kenasiknin Hadnid al-Kahraba, and I grew up playing with boys my entire life. And there was one day where the club needed to do a revamp. So they closed the club, and I remember I was like 10 years old, and I bought a plastic basketball that I put in the parking. And all the boys of the club moved to where I used to live, which was right across. And I was this little girl among these people who were players like Roni Fahed and other Lebanese players who became legends at this point in Lebanon. And I was this little girl with this small ball and this plastic basket that decided you play, you don't play, you God knows what. And I used to watch these boys play, and I was shy to imitate them in front of them, all the crossovers and stuff. So I used to go home, wake up really early, imitate the stuff that I saw, then go back down, play with them. And it just kept on going until I became so good for my age. And I was 11, I remember, when the coach came to me and he's like, I want to form a women's team and I want you to play with it. I'm like, no, I just want to keep playing with the boys. Unfortunately, that was not possible because I had to play championships. And the turning point in my life was when my mother came and she's like, because I signed a contract, I signed an official contract, and I remember I was paid $150, I was 11 years, to play for the team.
Wow.
And I remember she said, if basketball is ever going to affect your grades, we're going to stop basketball. And from this moment on, I became the best at everything I've done. I was an average student before that. I graduated first from my school. I graduated first from AUB with high distinction. I became the best player I could have been at my age. And it's an attitude I have in life now through everything I do.
Can we pause here and talk about how you took the responsibility and studied well and did everything that you needed to do in order to keep playing basketball? And can we send a message to those kids who dream of becoming, you know, football players or athletes, and their studies might be on the way?
Listen, they always ask me, was I a nerd or I wanted to prove anything? It was not. It was how, in my mind, I was functioned to do things. It was me versus me. There was nothing I wanted to do average. So I used to study to be able to answer any kind of questions. And I always say it, and I will always repeat it, that a champion is not defined by a trophy or a medal. A champion is a discipline that you apply in everything you do in your life, whether in your studies and how you behave and how you talk and how you treat people. So this is what I apply in everything I do or become. And I call it maybe the champion attitude. Kobe mm-hmm. called it the Mamba mentality. Mm-hmm. So my message to all, and I've said it before, to every boy and girl who listens to me, in parallel to education, because education is not something you should give up, but whatever game you choose to give or play, whether it's basketball or it's football or any kind of sports, give it everything. Give it your time, give it your effort, give it your early hours, give it your long hours, because every game has so much more to offer than just skills and from its fundamentals. It has, and there's so much to take with you to life. You take the discipline, the commitment, the dedication, the teamwork, the hard work. And if you apply this in everything you choose or become, you're going to become a champion in life, even if you never become a champion on court.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Love that. Love that. So true. The Atletico community, the whole Atletico community is listening to us. And we're so proud that you're part of the family. Thank it's you. Been long years
it's
now,
been
I think.
15 years now.
15 years. And you come here in Lebanon, every time you come, you visit us. What can you say to the Atletico community? How has your journey and relationship with Atletico been?
First of all, my relationship with Atletico started randomly, because I used to work for MTV, and we used to host Rene Metta, Robert Pauli as guests in the show. Mm-hmm. And this is how I got introduced to Atletico, and I learned more about this club. That what intrigued me the most, it was the first time where I related to a club, because it was not something built to support any political party. It was not something support for commercial purpose. It was just parents who wanted to give their kids what was not there out there. And I used to think, I wish I had this myself, and I wish we got all of this. And the passion these two men had, because they're both very successful businessmen in this country, and they had nothing to gain out of it. And at the beginning, it was just giving without nothing in return. So I was very interested in that journey, and the initial idea was to get in and form the basketball academy in parallel to the football academy. And I remember I was the first outsider that was allowed to be a shareholder in Atletico. And on the first meeting I get there, it was 2010, I was maybe 24 back then. I get into a meeting room, in a conference room with maybe 9 men, most of them, I wouldn't put them in that age, but some could have been my father, some could have been my big brother, but I was younger than most of them, and I was just sitting there, I'm like, okay.
But you belonged in that table.
I did belong in that table, in my head, yes, of course, I wore the role. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret it at all, because until today, this club represents so much more than just a football academy. It's a community, it's a cause, it's a mission, it's a family, and I relate to it. That's why I'm still here, that's why I still come. I wish I could give it more time. There's so much that I can add more to Atletico that I wish I have more time. I wish I can come more to Lebanon, but it's one of the things I am very proud to be part of.
Atletico is your home, you know that. Every time you come, we're so happy that you're with us. It means a lot. Tell us about your best experiences in the world of sports. I know that you met football players, football legends that our kids at Atletico, they would dream of even taking a picture with them.
Yeah.
So how is it like to be so embedded in the world of sports and so close to those superstars? And how are those people like? I know it's important to know behind the headlines, behind the TV, and of the person himself, Ronaldinho, Thierry Henry, Rodenis, how are they?
So you're right. I was blessed and honored and lucky to have the chance to work with very, very big names. Maradona, Cristiano Ronaldo, Thierry Henry, you name it. I can name you more than 40, 50 football players that I worked with. Ronaldo, the Brazilian, and the basketball world as well. And at the beginning, it was fascinating because you were very curious to see how they're like. Mm-hmm. They're all in the eyes of fans, like they're gods in the football world. But what's disappointing sometimes is that they're so big in your eyes sometimes, and then when you meet them as people, you might get disappointed because not all of them learned how to maintain this grandeur in life the way they were on court. So yes, I respect them, all of them. And I respect everything they've given in the sport, whether it's football. But I had some experience where I was a bit disappointed. I was not as impressed. Some, on the contrary, Bilakis, I was very impressed by the people they were, by their humbleness, by how they act. So by the end of it, I realized that this person that you idolize and you put it somewhere very high is just a human being, mm-hmm. just like you, who just worked hard, who made it, who maybe got lucky, who was present in the right place at the right time. And they're just human, and they love to be treated as human. They don't like to be just always looked at as superstars. And this is why I was lucky to become close to them. Some of them are on my WhatsApp phone. We talk. So yeah, they're impressive. All of them. I can share a lot of stories with a lot of them, and. And I'm lucky, honestly, I repeat it, I don't take this for granted. I was lucky and blessed to be able to meet all of these big names in the world of sports, hatta bil basketball, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, this is to name a few. This is not an everyday thing, and I realize I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm. But it's important, what you said, and Benihay, they're people. And we might forget this, we might not see this from the outside. And to not judge or anything, but you have those athletes that outside the field, they're amazing human beings and they do amazing things for their country, their community, their family, their fans. So it's important for our kids at Atletico to understand that and know, Mazboot, you want to be a football player, you want to be good at football, a kid, but don't forget to be a great human being first.
Exactly, which is what I tried to explain before, as when you're a champion in life. And today, you cannot forget the role social media gives. As soon as you're a celebrity, as soon as you're a superstar, you have great following and you have a huge responsibility that now you are an influencer. Like if Cristiano Ronaldo goes out now, he can cause World War III with, 600 million followers on Instagram. And whatever he says, it's Cristiano who said that.
Yeah.
So they have to be very aware of the impact they have on kids and how kids look at them. And I really believe that beyond sports today, these athletes should be educated and trained on how to act on social media, how to talk, because it's a really big responsibility, because some people can make it or break it because of a little thing an athlete does. So, yeah, the impact and the influence has become greater than ever today.
A question about Atletico specifically. You travel a lot.
I do.
Yeah, take a laugh here. And so you come and visit the facility every now and then. So your perspective of the evolution of Atletico is different from others who might be on the ground every day. So Benisbel Elik, how has Atletico evolved over the years? What are you looking forward to?
Atletico for me, أوقات بستحيل لأنه برجع Atletico and I get hit by how many number of kids do we have now, and I'm like, you're kidding me, right? How many locations we're at, how many activities we're doing, how many trips, how many champions that we have won. I think we had one of the most successful seasons
last year. Four titles out of seven.
Exactly. And I really believe these things on their own just talk on the success of this club. I'm very impressed. I know it's in great hands. It's not in the hands of just entrepreneurs or just parents, but it's also in the hands of athletes. And this is what makes me feel at mm-hmm. ease and relieved, because the people taking care of Atletico are previous athletes who understand this game and understand what it takes, and they can, the patience they have to also absorb, because no academy in the world doesn't come with a lot of pressure from parents, and how much time they accord to listening to parents, to taking the time to doing the changes needed. It is definitely in the right hands, and I can't be happier of everything the club has achieved in the past mm-hmm. 15 years, and honestly with little support. Like, it was all self-made, it was all
smooth.
And God knows, and you probably know how much difficulties we went through as a club during everything that happened to Lebanon. Not once we gave up on our kids, not once we gave up, not once we gave less than we should. So I honestly can't find one thing I'm not happy about.
I think what's common with you and with the other shareholders by Atletico, Benihaye, what makes you go through the difficult times, what makes you go through the challenges, what makes you win eventually is who's responsible, who's holding this club. And what I can say for sure is that those people, you and the other shareholders, they're all crazy about sports and crazy about football. And I think this makes all the difference. And the sacrifices are no longer sacrifices. You do it out of excitement, out of passion. That's so important.
I know, Saraha, I don't even know how they do it after weeks of just watching basketball, going on a Sunday, God knows where, to watch another football game. I love sports. I'm a big passionate of sports, but sometimes I look at them and I'm like, I cannot do it. Saraha.
Hello. Interesting question that I want to ask. We have a team at Atletico, a girls team, and we're very happy to expand our girls team. And I know that so many are listening, hopefully girls, football players, athletes, teams even outside of Atletico. You've had a big impact on girls, yani when a girl sees you, see what you've done, the impact that you've done in sports. What's your message for girls who listen to you today?
My message to girls and to anybody listening to me is the journey is never easy. It's one, what you choose, what you want out of this game. Do you want to become a champion? Do you want to work out? Do you want to just have company? It depends on what your journey is all about. And no matter what it is, it's gonna have a lot of obstacles. And I remember my first interview on TV was when I was 13, and I was asked, "شو النصيحة اللي بتعطيها؟" ما كنت بعمر فينا أعطي نصيحة, بس I remember I just said, "إذا بتقني بحالك رح توصلي." And this is the one thing I always say. In my life, there was nothing that asked me now if I would have dreamt of accomplishing maybe half of what I've done. I would have said no way. It's just how much you believe, how much you envision it. Maybe sometimes you manifest it. So I just say, believe in yourselves and learn how to say no. Because as somebody who was in media, there is a lot of times that my path would have been completely different had I not known when to say no to certain things. At the expense of a lot of beautiful things, at the expense of a lot of opportunities. But a no can really increase in your value and who you are, because time will make it, will make you understand why you made that sacrifice, because something else would come. And anything in this world really requires a lot of sacrifices. I remember I grew up with friends telling me, "Hey, Shufia, أفت التمرين." وتعرف السر ليش ما فيك تأفت التمرين? It was so hard. Even when I had the relationship, I was in competition. Like my ex-boyfriend would be jealous of my basketball training or my coach. And you cannot explain to anybody who doesn't know sports your commitment to sports or to practice or to choosing this game over anything. So my message is, it's all depending of how bad you want something. And the journey is not easy. It takes you through a lot of ups and downs. If you want to get to the end, believe in yourself. You will overcome the obstacles. You will get there. Just don't give up.
Amazing. You said it's important to say no. Mali, we will continue. I know that you guys are still watching. The darkness. We're going to continue. So for the podcast listeners, the electricity just went off. So we just recorded a few seconds in the dark. So continuing on what we were saying, you said it's important to say no.
Yes.
Fishi Biul, every time you say no, a kid under the umbrella of discipline here, there's a bigger yes inside of you that you're saying. And it's true, you need to believe in yourself. Hala. What's difficult to khasatan nahna working with the kids, we try our best to give them those pieces of wisdom. But how is it like really in practical terms? Can you shed more light on it through a story maybe? When, maybe it was easy for you to, you had all the reasons maybe to give up, but you didn't. And why? And why you didn't? What was the driving force?
Because I knew so well what I wanted. And when I say, I want to go back to the point of saying no. When you say no to something, it's because you're putting yourself first. You're putting your values first. You're putting your principles first. You're putting how you do things first. A lot of people are going to come and tempt you with shortcuts, whether in sports or in media, and especially in media. And this is what differentiates somebody who wants to make it fast and then they'll fall, and someone who actually is okay losing something at the expense of their own dignity. Mm-hmm. And this is where you should, as a woman, and I'm addressing myself to women, you should know when to say no. Going back to the athlete side and saying no to a lot of things, because you have to say no to a lot of things, no to... I didn't start drinking
full
alcohol.
Full of distractions.
I didn't drink alcohol until I was 25. That was the first time maybe I tried it, or 24. I never had a cigarette in my life. Not for anything. It's a personal choice that I wanted to do. I used to wake up early to train. Because this is what made me happy. This is what I wanted. I wasn't sacrificing and I was sad. I was making a choice that I was very happy about. But yes, it did require a lot of no's. Did I lose people on the way? I might have, because they didn't understand. But did I want these people in my life in the future? No, I want people who resent me to keep on going on this journey with me. So even if you say no now and you lose things that might seem that valuable today, in the future, you'd realize that it just didn't match what you wanted in life.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Love that. We're both Lebanese. Yeah. And a lot of what we're saying is addressed on behalf of Lebanese people and for Lebanese people, but also for all of those who are listening to us in the Arab world and in the Middle East specifically. So your exposure in the Middle East has been very high. أكيد نحن we're very concerned about the quality of football, the quality of sports education in the Middle East, how things are evolving, because obviously the best reference is Europe. Will one day the Middle East be as good as Europe and so on? So what can you tell us about the Middle East and sports in the Middle East lately?
صراحة, if I need to say something about what's going on about sports in the Middle East, is that it is on the right track. We are surrounded, or I have the chance to be living in a country, or also sometimes travel to a country that have put sports in their top priority. And here I'm talking in specific about the UAE and Saudi Arabia. And the importance of sports they're giving, all of a sudden, the amount of money they're throwing into this field is insane. And this is a debate on its own that we can talk about for hours. But if you want to take the positive side out of it, they're trying to bring the best. They're bringing the best too fast. They're passing some shortcuts, but they're doing it a lot today. They're trying with the SPL to form one of the biggest football leagues in the world to compete with the European leagues. Are they doing it correctly? This is also another debate, but they're trying. And did it have an impact? Yes, it did. The entire world now watches the Middle East. The entire world wants to end their season in the Middle East, and some are coming even before. And I'm not talking just about football. Mm-hmm. Today, what's happening in the UAE with the NBA coming to Abu Dhabi, with the EuroLeague now, the Final Four is going to be taking place, with Dubai forming the first basketball team playing in the Euro Cup next year. You as an Arab today have hope because you have some teams where you can get to the world level through the Arab world. And this is something we never dreamt of, we never had here. The maximum we did as Lebanese today was, and this is a key, it goes to what happened to Lebanese basketball national team, they made it to the World Cup. But that was the furthest a Lebanese made it to something on the international level. Whereas today, with forming teams, or eventually, I heard there are plans in Saudi to even form a basketball a championship or tournament that resembles the SPL. Mm-hmm. So today, Arab players have a target or a goal to maybe not think that far, but to think of what's there that will take them to the same extent of how far someone can go.
Okay. طب نحنا شو ناقصنا in Lebanon? honestly, do you see شوي بيتخل. Honestly, do you see potential in sports in Lebanon? Forget about the political side or even economic side or whatever. Although those are like the pillars of whether or not there is potential. Like,
as much as Abeli Ridda Alik, we forget about this. You cannot answer such a question by saying forget about this, because we are a club that is doing everything possible. But if you don't have dam or don't have the budget, or if there is a certain limit to where you can go. Mm-hmm. And today, I don't think in Lebanon, sports is placed on the top priority of this country. هلا كمان يعني الله يعطي العافية البلد خليه يوقف على الجي قبل ما يرجع يمكن يفكر بالسبو. So we are a bit a step يعني step بعد لورا. بس even if I would think إنه today we're كل شيء كتير منيح, I don't think the mentality is there to invest in sports in this country. And this is something, unfortunately, كتير ناس نبحوا وجربوا. I hope some people will come and make a change. But you cannot really advance if there is not a certain budget put in grassroots, because I always believe that, okay, you want to make it, but it all starts with we have talent. In Atletico, we find talents. Mm-hmm. We find them. But there is a time where they can't get any better than that. Not because they personally don't have what it takes, but if they don't play in a league entirely, all season long, that lifts them up to the next level, they stagnate. They become by 16, 17, 18 players who can play maybe max بالدوري اللبناني. But when you have what it takes at the smallest level to take them and to push them from level to another. And here I'm not talking just about investing in players. There is a big budget that has been put investing in coaches, because we have the talent in players, but sometimes we don't find the talent in coaches. there are a lot of good coaches that are good because they invest in themselves. They go and train across. They go on clinics, not because we have what it takes to make them here. So there has to be an entire strategy put in to really advance sports in this country. بس برغم من كل هيك, I really believe that what this country has accomplished in كن عصايد الفوتبول أو عصايد الباسكت is something we should be very, very proud of.
أكيد أكيد.
وسوري مش بس بالفوتبول وبالباسكت, كمان في كتير ناس ما فينا انسى مثلا ليتيسيا بالاولمبيكس, ما فينا كتير ناس اندريا باولي كمان وصلت على الاولمبيكس, هذا ما في كتير ناس وصلوا حققوا انجازات للبنان, يمكن لانه ثلاث ارباع الوقت كانوا هن عم ضحوا من حالهم مشان يصيروا احسن, ولو كانوا لقوا الدعم اللي لازم يلاقوه they would have reached much much bigger places.
We have talents, that's certain. Hopefully in the future we will have the necessary support from our country. مثل ما قلت يعطي العافية. I know, أكيد we have to stand on our legs يعني first. نحن أتلتيكو, you know, we do our best to do what we can do. So what's within our power to do, we do it. And the rest, inshallah, with time, مثل ما قلت, will have the support of the country.
I don't think Atletico just does what's within their power. They go above that. They go above what's in their power to an extent where you have to come and are like,
مزبوط.
We have people so passionate that they sometimes just forget the purpose and they just go just, يعني بحسوا مصلحة النادي قبل كل شيء, ومصلحة لاعبي ومصلحة الأهل ومصلحة أتلتيكو يمكن قبل حالهم. So yes, I see this as a shareholder. Sometimes you should not fully agree on what's going on, but as an athlete, I do. So it's a struggle, but I really fully respect that because yeah. This is what this club is all about, and this is what makes it what it is.
مزبوط. Passion prevails on.
Exactly.
طيب ناتالي, this kid, this boy or this girl who's 7, 8, 9 years old. With their parents, what would you tell them?
First, I would tell the parents, your role is very big in the life and career of your kids. Not by pressuring them to become champions or by pressuring them to do what you would have wished them to do, but by just supporting them in their journey that they choose on their own. Because I was so blessed to be supported by my parents that just watched me. Accompanied me, wassaluni, jibuni. I had zero pressure into becoming anything. Whether I played well or I didn't play well, I had zero pressure. The role of the parents is just to support them in the journey they choose. As for the kid, and I said it earlier, كل ولد اليوم بده يصير the future Messi or the future Ronaldo. Are they all going to become that? No. So let your target be not becoming a champion. The third problem to be to enjoy the journey of becoming a champion. Because as I said before, that even if you don't become a champion, in the literal term of holding a cup or a trophy, but you become a champion throughout the journey. You become a champion in life. You become a person that has discipline in everything you choose. You become a person that has dedication in your family, with your family, with your kids, with your wife, with your husband. And this is what makes, for me, I'm attracted to these things. You become an attractive human being to be on a table with, to have a discussion with, to look up to. So my message is trust what this game gives you beyond just skills and fundamentals and grasp it, take everything you can because you will apply them and you will have to apply them in life.
Like كل هيدي حتى in between quotes. No, it was so well said. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Any last word for the whole Atletico community?
First, I would like to thank every single person who trusts Atletico, حاطت ثقته بالكلوب. هيدي صارت عائلة كتير كبيرة, فبدي أشكر كل من عطى ثقته لأتلتيكو وعطى ثقته لكل المسؤولين بأتلتيكو. أنا ما كان عندي الفرصة أتعرف على عائلة أتلتيكو كلها. تعرفت عليها أكثر بالأول.
هلأ it's a kind of.
So first, I would like to thank this entire family. I would like to tell them that we care about you a lot. It's in good hands. أنا كناتالي مش كشareholder. أنا بدي أشكر خوني متى وكوبرن باولي وكل مين عم بحط كل وقته مشان هيدا الكلوب وبعرف قد بيعطوا من وقتهم. most of the time بدون أي شيء بالمقابل. So I really want to thank them. I want to promise them that this is not going to stop here. It's going to evolve. It's going to get further. مش لأنه we have stuff that now we can point at, but because I know who's taking care of it. هو الناس their passion ما بتشبع. So أنا أكيد إنه the journey is still ongoing. It's going to get higher. It's going to get better. I hope we're just going to keep on winning things together. We're going to keep on accomplishing things together. And I hope you're going to see more of me in the near future.
Inshallah. Nathalie, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
I know this was your first. Is this your first interview?
You could say.
Okay. I'm very happy that I remember you as a player in Atletico, and I saw your journey as well. And I'm also very proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.